This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. We're going to talk to my longtime friend, Dr. Eddie Hyatt. And Eddie, are you on the line with me yet? Eddie Hyatt, I'm looking for Eddie Hyatt. And haven't gotten in touch with him yet. So, I'm going to send him a text. I'm trying to call him. We're waiting for you, Eddie. Hey, I want to talk about while we get Eddie Hyatt on the line and with us to talk to us about revival. He has a new book out that I wanted to visit with him about called The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857 and 1858. And this is an amazing book. And I've been staying up at night reading on the book, what God is doing, what God did then, He can do now. So I'm still looking for Eddie Hyatt, and waiting for him to give me a call, and maybe he will at some point. I believe he's going to call me now. Is that you, Eddie Hyatt?
Hey, this is me.
I've been trying to call you. I thought maybe
I didn't come through.
I thought maybe the rapture had taken place. I was a little bit startled at the moment. Hey, it's good to have you on because I wanted to talk about your new book that you gave me the privilege of endorsing,
right.
called The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58. And I'm going to have you back, and we'll talk length about it. But I've been reading this book, Eddie, and it's an amazing book. I want to tell you all a little bit about Eddie Hyatt because you've heard him many times on BPNRadio.com. But Eddie has been my friend since I was 14 and he was 11. Both of our dads were Assembly of God pastors, and at one time both of us lived. We both lived in the same little town of Walters, Oklahoma. Then one Sunday morning, you probably know this story, Eddie, but
yeah.
there was three preachers that were not pastoring at the time, and they were in the church there, and the pastor, including your dad and my dad and one other that had been in ministry, and one Sunday morning, you probably heard the story, but one Sunday morning he pointed all three of these men out at the Assembly of God Church in Walters, my dad and your dad, another one, and he said, "You're a Jonah, and you're a Jonah, and you're a Jonah. All three of you are Jonas. You're sitting here running from God." I don't think they were running from God. I think they were just in between. We call it in those days in between churches.
Right, true. Yeah, that's true.
So I think that kind of – I remember my dad coming home saying, "I don't think I can go back anymore. I'm a Jonah."
Right.
So shortly thereafter, my dad, he pastored a church in Stecker, Oklahoma. I'm not sure where your dad went. Tipton, I believe.
We went to Terrell, Oklahoma.
Oh, Terrell, Oklahoma after that.
Yeah.
So my dad went to Stecker and your dad went to Terrell.
Right. But we stayed in touch through the years.
Yeah, we have. We certainly have. And I'm very proud of you. And I can see you one of America's great authors and historians. I'm thankful.
Hey, well, you're very kind.
I'm thankful for the opportunity we've had to work together over the years, even doing conferences together. But this book, The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58, parallels with what's happening in America today. Is that right?
Well, I believe so, Dale. And America is ready and needing another great awakening, another great This was a great prayer awakening. But yes, absolutely. There are parallels today in America. And, you know, God has been faithful. This nation was birthed out of a prayer and a spiritual awakening. And God has been faithful through the years, through this nation's history. At critical times in her history, God has sovereignly intervened with spiritual awakenings and saved the nation from total ruin. And this book is about what I call the third great awakening that happened 1857-58. Now, those were the years where it was at its peak. It didn't end, but the fall and winter of 1857-58, it was just an incredible sovereign work of God that saved America from total ruin.
What was the condition of America during this time?
Well, leading up to this, you know, there had been a second great awakening beginning around 1800, but by 1840, it had fizzled out. There was a lot of spiritual indifference. People weren't interested in church. People weren't interested in God. People were interested in making money, and there was a lot of skepticism because of one of the most popular preachers of the day named William Miller, who was an astute student of Revelation and Daniel, end time prophecy. He predicted that Jesus was going to come back, and he had a certain date. I have those dates in the book. I believe it was in 1843. And I mean, he convinced thousands of people. Newspapers reported people gathering on hills outside of cities, hundreds of people in different cities gathering on hills, some of them with their wedding garment on, wrapped in white sheets and different things, ready for the Lord to take them out. But of course, nothing happened. And then William Miller said he miscalculated, and then he set it for another year. And even Charles Finney tells about in his autobiography that he was in Boston at the time, and he was talking about that the whole city and the churches were in such an uproar about William Miller that it was hard to get people's attention on listening and hearing the gospel. And so he set a second date. When it didn't happen, a lot of people, they just, they were just totally turned off to Christianity and so on. And so it was a terrible time. Also, it was a time when there was a lot of saber rattling and anger over slavery. There was an abolition movement. People were willing to lay down their lives to end slavery. There was resistance to it in the South. And so it was a very terrible time in America. But in 1857, and Dale, it happened by Charles Finney was alive, the great revivalist, but his revivals of the 1820s and 30s that has caused such a stir, he was still ministering, but there wasn't that kind of impact that was happening at this time. But this revival started. You know, God always has his instruments, and it may not be the kind he used in the last revival, and that's why we can't put God in a box.
I know.
Who knows? I was just listening to that testimony just before we came on. What a powerful testimony, and so encouraged to hear how God is changing people's lives right down where the rubber meets the road. Well, in this 1857, this businessman, he was actually working as they called him a home missionary for a Dutch Reformed church in New York City. And New York City, there were immigrants from Eastern Europe, especially, and Southern Europe, and from Ireland that were pouring into America. There were estimated that 1,800 immigrants a day were coming into New York City. Most of these people knew nothing of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Many of them were very rough and uncouth. Many were formal Roman Catholics, but as I said, knew nothing about a personal relationship with Jesus. And so in this area of Manhattan where this church was, many of the churches had moved out because they didn't like the character of the people that were moving in there. But this church decided to stay, and they hired this businessman to do visitation, visit the people, invite them to church, talk to them about the Lord. So he had been doing this for 3 months, and he was becoming discouraged because of the indifference and sometimes outright opposition to him handing out tracts, talking to people about the Lord, inviting them to church. So But as he was going about his duties, a thought crossed his mind. And, you know, sometimes some of the most powerful ideas can come, you know, like Elijah's still small voice. Mm-hmm. It can come in such a small, gentle way. And it was just a thought. Why not have a prayer meeting at noontime during people's lunch hour and invite business people in this area to come and pray for the lost, come and pray for the unconverted? And mm-hmm. so he did. He announced it. He put up handbills around, invited people to come and pray during their noon hour, and said they could come for 5 minutes or the entire hour. The first day he was all alone for a half hour, prayed alone. Then finally, before it was over, three other people joined him. It started out as a weekly. The next week there were 20. The third week there were 40. And there was such a blessing that accompanied it, they decided to do it every day. But here was the thing, Dale. Actually, they weren't even praying for revival. They were praying for the conversion of all these immigrants that were pouring into the country, into the city, and into their area in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. That was their purpose. Now, they prayed about other things, but their stated purpose, we're going to pray for the conversion of the lost, especially these new people that are moving into our city. Mm-hmm. And that was how this great awakening that eventually before it was over with just in a few months, Charles Finney himself estimated that 50,000 people were being converted every week. And this is before the internet, before radio, before wow. TV, wow. That 50,000 people a week were being converted, you know. And that reminds me, we have an immigration issue going on in America right now. And we should start praying. We should make it a point. Yes, I believe in borders. I believe every nation, wherever it is in the world, they need to have borders. They need to have a healthy immigration system. But here's the thing. I believe we should start praying for these immigrants that are coming in, especially those that don't know Christ. Every time you see a Muslim woman with her head covered, speak a prayer. Say, God, reveal your salvation to her. Make Jesus known to her. That's how this great prayer awakening began, when people started to pray for the immigrants that were pouring into their city and to the country. And you know, some people call it the greatest revival that America has experienced. I think maybe one reason, Dale, it wasn't led by great revivalists or preachers. Charles Finney tells about this revival in his autobiography. Now, he was up in his, I guess he would have been in his 60s at the time, close to 70. He was mm-hmm. still ministering. Mm-hmm. But the way he put it, he said ministers seemed to be set aside and laid in the shade. He said the revival was carried on for the most part by lay people, both men and women. Wow. And prayer meetings began to spring up. Noon prayer meetings began to spring up in cities all over America. They were packed out and overflowing. The presence of God was so powerfully manifest. Even non-believers were coming into the meetings, and then pastors, seeing the desire to pray, they began to open their churches, and were amazed when their churches were filled with people day and night, people wanting to pray and pour out their hearts to God. The way Charles Finney put it, he said that the people desired prayer meetings more than any other kind of meeting, and he said the attitude seemed to be of the general population seemed to be, we have heard preaching until we are hardened. It's time for us to pray. And wow, all over America, people were praying in churches, auditoriums, fire stations. And these made headlines. There were headlines in mm-hmm. in the major cities telling mm-hmm. about how churches were filled with people, and businesses throughout the city would have placards on their door at noontime saying closed for the prayer meeting. Wow. And so it was an incredible time. And there's no question in my mind in this research, Dale, that this prayer meeting ended slavery in America and saved America from total ruin. Because even though it had its peak in the fall and winter of 1857-58, it continued and carried over into the Civil War, where there was lots of prayer that went on in the Civil War. And in the book, I have Abraham Lincoln's prayer proclamation for 1863, when he called for a national day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation. Yeah. And I am amazed at Abraham Lincoln's words in calling the nation to repentance and prayer. It's amazing.
I know.
No question in my mind that that prayer revival saved America.
Saved
from
America.
Absolute total ruin.
Hey, and that's what I want to talk to you about in just a moment. We need to take a station break. Remind everybody where you're listening. It's good to have Dr. Eddie Hyatt. We'll be back in about 60 seconds. So good to have you listening.
This is Allison Keeber, reminding you that you are listening to BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, where we're calling America to pray around the clock and around the globe.
Okay, here we are calling America to pray, everybody. And we've been calling America to pray since November here on BPNRadio.com, since November of 2014. And the Holy Spirit gave me a mandate after leading prayer at the White House in 1996 to call America to pray.
Wow.
And I believe it's the key. It's good to have my longtime friend, Dr. Eddie Hyatt, on with me today. He holds a doctor of ministry from Regent University, where he majored in church history and spiritual renewal. He also holds a Master of Divinity, Master of Arts, in historical theology from Oral Roberts University. And Eddie has lectured on revival church history and various biblical themes in churches, conferences, and some of the major educational institutions in the world, including Oxford University in England. He's authored several books, including 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, which is used as a textbook in colleges and seminaries around the world. And he has just came out with a new book entitled The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58. I would recommend that every believer, every Christian, every pastor, every church leader get this book. How can they get it, Eddie?
Best way, just go to Amazon, Dale. And on Amazon, it's available in both paperback and Kindle. And if they just go to Amazon and enter my name, Eddie Hyatt, it will bring up all of my books. And just scroll down, and they'll see the book, The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58.
You know, I've read your books. I've been a huge fan of yours for a long, long time. And both of us were raised up in very simple surroundings.
Yes,
But I know that God has called us to be a voice.
In this
nation of calling America to pray. And I would encourage everybody to go. Out of all the books, I know that you've written a lot of great books, but this one is very concise, very precise, very concise. Doesn't take long to read it. And what is only about 57?
I think it's 57 pages, yeah.
57 pages doesn't take long, but it's amazing what is in this little book. And I just encourage everybody to go to Amazon and type in Eddie Hyatt, EDDIEHYATT, and purchase this book, The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58, the prayer movement that ended slavery and saved the American Union. And you were just talking about Abraham Lincoln's prayer. You know, the amazing thing about it was that the United States Senate passed a resolution asking President Lincoln to call for a day of prayer. Could that happen in America? And you might want to enlarge a little bit on that. I know you started. It was amazing. The United States Senate passed the resolution asking.
Oh, yeah.
Asking President Lincoln to call a day of fasting and prayer, right, for the nation.
Absolutely, because actually the war was going very bad for the North, and so it was looking like the country may completely break up, and so there was a desperation, and there had been a prayer awakening, and so the Senate unanimously asked President Lincoln to issue a call for prayer, and so he did, and it's not little, you know, we hear a lot of tale today, you know, we have a moment of silence, and I don't want to put that down, you know, and so on. If that's where people are, fine. But, you know, sometimes we got to have more than a moment of silence.
That's right.
And Abraham Lincoln so powerfully called the people to repentance, to turn from their sins, yeah. and acknowledge even the what he called national sins. He was talking about slavery, and if I may just read a little bit of what he said.
Yeah.
He said, "We have been the recipients." This is just a little excerpt from his proclamation. I did include the entire proclamation in this book just because of the power of it.
Yeah.
But he said, "We have been," and I think this could we can see that this relates to America as a nation today. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Isn't that a powerful statement from a president to
yes.
a nation?
Yes, yes.
And he goes on and he says, "Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before God, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." And he goes on and says, "I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day, April 30th, 1863, he says, "from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of religious duties proper to this solemn occasion." And because, you know, there had been this prayer awakening and it was still going on, especially in the North, the people responded in mass. People responded in mass all over the country praying. And Dale, that was the turning point of the war. After that day set aside to pray, to confess the nation's sins and to call up to God, that was the turning point. And so it actually wasn't the Northern armies that won the war. It was prayer yeah. that won the war yeah. and prayer that saved America.
Yeah, I believe that. And the conditions in America kind of run parallel to what's happening in America today. Only America's given to so much more. But the conditions, I think, were similar in what was happening then in America and what is happening now in America. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the Civil War, I believe there was over 700,000 that were killed in the Civil War, which was, I believe, I don't know how you feel about this, but I believe unless we have a revival in America, another spiritual awakening, we could well have another Civil War in this nation.
Very true, Dale. That is so true. Yeah, and you know, and compare that within the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, we've lost less than 10,000 soldiers in the Civil War, which was fought on American soil. Mm-hmm. Around 700,000. That would be comparable to 6-7 million people being killed today on American soil. It was a very devastating time. But you know, it's interesting. Some of the founders at the Constitutional Convention, you know, most of the founders, they were against slavery, but many of them felt that they could not have a successful union unless the southern states were participating. And so they were willing to make accommodations and allow slavery to continue at the discretion of those individual states. Now, there were some founders who warned that they were inviting divine judgment by making this compromise with evil. Let me just read a statement of one of the delegates to the Constitutional Convention, George Mason, who is also called the father of the Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. the first 10 amendments of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
He warned of divine judgment if they did not deal with the slavery question then and there. And he said, "Every master is born a petty tyrant. They bring the judgment of heaven upon a country. As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. Many believe that the Civil War, which took more lives on American soil than all the wars put together from the Revolutionary War up through Korea, there was hardly a home in America that had not lost more than one family member. Fathers and sons were missing in many homes. Weeping was heard in homes throughout America. The maimed and wounded were everywhere. And many believe that it was a result of what George Mason warned about. So, you know, what it behooves us, we are the salt of the earth. I believe that we can avert divine judgment. I believe that once again, if the Christians in America will stand up for Jesus, be salt and light, and pray. And Dale, my prayer today would be that God would unleash a spirit of prayer upon America once again, because that's how I would describe what happened at the Great Prayer Awakening. It was like a spirit of prayer. People wanted to pray. They wanted to pray more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I pray today that through the Breakout Prayer Network, and I believe God's already doing that, but I add my prayers to yours, that God will unleash another great prayer awakening, and a spirit of prayer will come upon the Christians and the churches of America.
Yes. Well, I believe what you're saying, Eddie, and I'm so thankful for men like you that can point us back to history, because I do believe that history repeats itself. I believe that America is in a very dangerous place, just as America was prior to the 1857, 1858 prayer revivals in America. Eventually, of course, the Civil War broke out, which you've stated in your book that could have brought total ruin to the United States of America. I believe, Eddie, that we are on, in this nation, I believe that we are on we're on a slippery slope right now.
Totally agree.
When you see what's happening in our nation, I know that some people would say, well, you're an alarmist, or you're saying 911. One preacher told me, you keep saying that we have an emergency in America. There's no emergency, but there is an emergency. There's an emergency in America like I've never seen before. Just in the past few weeks, the attack on Christianity, attack on our president, has just been enormous. And I believe, and you state in your book, I believe that God brought Donald Trump, regardless of how people feel, I believe that Donald Trump came on the scene because he is he does believe in prayer. He's in he's endorsed the prayer movement. And I believe it can happen again. You know, in 1990, Gene and I were in prayer in our bedrooms in Oklahoma City, January of 1990, this month, and 29 years ago, and the Holy Ghost said to me, you're going to start going into churches and staying weeks at a time, and you're going to pray through until you have a breakthrough. And
hallelujah.
So from 1990 until the middle part of 1998, for 8.5 years, Gene and I traveled across America to Canada, to England, other nations of the world, leading prayer revivals.
Yes.
And people came to pray. They came in the morning. They came in the evening. They came through the day. And in the 1990s, we had a turnaround in the United States of America. God turned things around in the 80s and 90s. But here we are in a very dangerous place in America. And, you know, if we just start talking about some of the things that are taking place are similar to the prayer awakening. And I agree that we must have a prayer awakening. And that's gonna happen by individuals and individual churches, groups getting together and praying and seeking the face of God. I believe that what God did before, He will do again. And you know, I've not made any formal or official announcement, but there's going to come a day before too long that we preempt all of our programming on bpnradio.com and just begin to pray. and allow different congregations, different individuals, different people groups to pray. And we're just going to pray around the clock. Maybe 21 days of prayer. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. But it is an emergency because it's like the news media would say that nobody is for Donald Trump, that everybody in America hates Donald Trump, but everybody in America now hates Christianity, and everybody in America hates the church. So we are in a very precarious place.
Yeah, very true.
Where we must pray, because we know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 still works. And the prayer, if you read the entire prayer of Abraham Lincoln, which I read last night before I went to sleep, is amazing, the prayer that he prayed.
Amen. It is.
So what can we do now?
Hey, well, you've nailed it, Dale. We've got to pray. The church has to pray. Seek God's face. In other words, not just asking. You know, that's in that you mentioned 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face." And I know a friend of yours many years ago, Larry Lee, when he was leading prayer a prayer revival. I heard him say that God spoke to him in prayer one morning and said, "Don't seek my hand, seek my face."
Yeah. Yeah.
God's hand being a symbol of his power. But he said then a week or so later in prayer, he said he heard God say, "Seek my face and I will show you my hand." God's seeking God's face is seeking God, seeking to know his will and his way. Not saying, "God, come and bless me and what I'm doing," but, "God, what is on your heart?" Mm-hmm. "God, what are your concerns?"
Mm-hmm.
It's putting his interest above my own and saying, "God, what's on your mind? Show me your will. Show me your way. Show me how to cooperate with your will and your purpose." Mm-hmm. That is seeking God's face, seeking him for who he is, his own person.
Yeah.
And so that is a part. And I believe, you know, as we begin to pray, and I'd like to just pray today that God will unleash a spirit of prayer across America upon the churches and the Christians of America once again.
Yeah, I want you to pray. I'll play some prayer music. We got about 6 or 7 minutes. So you pray, Eddie, and I'll set myself in agreement.
And Dale, you know, you were talking about at some point just having prayer. I'll say this, you know, I won't be surprised if you do it, not because it's something that you have all planned out in advance, but something that you have to do.
Yeah.
because that spirit of prayer, that's Romans 8:26. If somebody's wondering about a spirit of prayer, where Paul said, "We don't know how to pray as we ought," but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. A spirit of prayer is when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, comes upon an entire congregation, or in that 1857-58, it seemed to come up on the entire nation, a spirit of prayer coming upon an individual and God praying through them according to his will. And so that's what I'm going to pray for today.
Okay, go for it.
Father, I thank you today. I thank you for Dale and Jean. I thank you for the Breakout Prayer Network. God, I thank you for raising up partners for them and people who will support their ministry. And God, and I thank you for raising up prayer partners and churches that are joining together to pray with the Breakout Prayer Network. And Lord, I pray first of all for every church. And I just saw the list. I believe there are over 1,800 churches that have committed to pray with you daily for revival, Dale. And I'm going to pray first of all that those friends and partners of Breakout Prayer Network, that a spirit of prayer will come upon. Yes, Lord, those people, those pastors, those churches. God, I pray that a spirit of prayer will come upon them, that prayer will not be a burden, God, but prayer that they will want to pray, they will desire to pray, and prayer will flow like a mighty river in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for all of the churches throughout America. God, we pray that you will unleash a spirit of prayer. May Romans 8:26-27 become a reality for many for the first time. where they experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and even praying, as Paul said, in groanings which cannot be uttered. And so, Lord, let that spirit of prayer be unleashed across America today. We pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I know that there is prayer that goes on in the White House. And I heard someone say the other day, someone who is sort of in the inner circle, said that it is not unusual that Mike Pence told them, the vice president said that it is not unusual for Donald Trump and their cabinet meetings to turn to him or to someone else and say, oh, open this meeting in prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that a spirit of prayer will come upon the White House. Lord, that throughout the White House, that prayers will be heard coming from different departments, coming, Lord, even from the Oval Office, that prayer will flow like a mighty river in the White House and in the halls of Congress and in the Senate. Lord, unleash a spirit of prayer upon America. We pray, oh Lord, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, here is a quote in my book, but it's from a Baptist evangelist who was a part of this great prayer awakening. And as I was praying, I was thinking, that's a real example of, a spirit of prayer upon a people. And he was preaching in a certain area, in a certain villages. And he said there were so many people coming to Christ that there were five preachers baptizing everybody to try to keep up with everybody who was getting saved and baptizing them. And in the midst of this, he said, I went out at midnight near my boarding house and could distinctly hear the voice of prayer in the houses, in the barns, in the fields, in the streets. Wow. Folks, that's a spirit of prayer.
Yes.
And may you individually, every individual listening to this program, I pray that, yes, a spirit of prayer will come upon you and that you will begin to pray for your church, for your pastor, for your leaders. Pray that a spirit of prayer will come upon them.
Yes. Yes.
And that sometimes that you'll see that when you will go to church, there will be such a spirit of prayer that there won't even be any singing or preaching, that the prayer will just flow so mightily and powerfully for hours at a time. God, thank you for unleashing a spirit of prayer upon your people, upon this nation, and throughout the world. Oh, God, that we might see that mighty end-time revival that you promised when you said that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
And we'll see that mighty harvest of souls for these days in which we live, and we give you all of the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. I set myself in agreement with you, Eddie Hyatt, and you're going to have to come back because I believe that God is working. I've been stirred by reading your book.
Thank you.
Stirred my spirit up, and I encourage every believer. If that believes there is still hope for America, I don't believe that God is finished with our nation.
Amen.
And I believe there is still hope. I believe we're living in perilous times, but there's hope. And I encourage you to order The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58 by Eddie Hyatt, E-D-D-I-E-H-Y-A-T-T. Go to Google, order that. Eddie, good to have you on as always. And
great to be with you, Dale.
We'll keep praying. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And I just want to say to all of you, thank you for praying with me today. Keep listening. Thank you for all of your support. We appreciate that this program is supported by you that believe there is hope for America. I'm very, very grateful and thankful to you today. And we're going to continue to pray. Some wonderful things are happening in the United States of America.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, yeah, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled for my ransom.
was stumbling in the darkness. Couldn't see my hand in front of me. I was sending up an SOS. All was lost, you came running. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You sent the shadow scattering. Went through the clouds of piercing light. And then I saw you shine, shine, shine like the sun. You're waking us to life. You've only begun, and fear, every doubt disappears when you shine on us. We wanna see you shine, shine, shine like the stars. You are the first love to open my heart.
they didn't know his death was beaten.